Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Not sure who I was talking about.
Chris Bagnata. How you doing?
Chris Kuzme. I'm doing great.
Fantastic. I like your shirt. It's an old school.
Thanks, man.
Emperor's Guild shirt. We've known each other a long time. Where are we right now?
We are at the Bohemian Beer Hall and Garden on a lovely, slightly cloudy Saturday afternoon at an event, the name of which I forget, but it's a homebrew and commercial brew kind of tasting event. It's lots of fun. It's sponsored by my buddies in Brewstoria.
Your buddies in Brewstoria. So we know each other from New York City Homebrewers Guild. You live 3 blocks away from here.
I do.
You are also a member of this club. How long have you been a member of this club, Brewstoria?
I'm not sure. I don't count that well what I've been drinking.
All right. Well, I'm excited to talk to people at this event, and I'm really glad to be sharing this experiment with you. I mean, experience with you. It's kind of an experiment.
It's kind of an experiment.
Yeah,
I'm
an experiment.
It's all an experiment, buddy.
Right on. Let's get in it. Foment about it.
Foment about it.
With Joe LaCour from Pilsner Urquell. This event is done in collaboration with Pilsner Urquell.
Yes.
And what is the event and what's going on today?
Well, this is the 2017 New York Craft and Imports Festival. As Pilsner Urquell, one of the biggest things that we wanted to align ourselves with, one of the styles of beers we want to align ourselves with, are craft breweries. Reason being, they're independent and they're passionate about their beer, which speaks to us and how we were born out of passion for beer. This event, we collaborated with Brewstoria and Reyes Brewing, and so we brought them along, and then we teamed up with one of our largest accounts in the country, Bohemian Beer Garden, and we just put it together, and it became a celebration of beer forever.
That's fantastic. We really appreciate that you're doing this, and we're happy to do it for a good cause, the Queens Council for the Arts. We're going to talk to Hannah a little bit later about that. But you guys brought the unfiltered Pilsner Urquell,
yes.
Which is very special to have. How often do we get to see these in the area?
In the U.S., we probably allocate for New York, the Northeast region, we allocate about 40 kegs a year. This beer comes straight from our brewery. It has a shorter shelf life, so it's flown from the brewery into the U.S. It's one of the rarest beers you'll find in the world. You won't even find this so much in Russia. In Europe, unless you go straight to the brewery in the Czech Republic. So it's one of those rare beers and those rare finds, especially here in the U.S.
If you were to describe the flavor of the unfiltered Pilsner Urquell versus the filtered Pilsner Urquell, how would you describe it?
I would describe it. I mean, you could really taste the triple decoction that's in the beer. You can really, just from a visual standpoint, you can see the haze that's in the beer. Obviously, a Pilsner is going to be lighter. You're not going to have a ton of haze in it. But overall, you can really taste the freshness. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, when Pilsner fell here in the U.S., it's phenomenal. It's a great beer. But getting it straight from the brewery, I mean, you can't replicate that kind of freshness.
I second that. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's very special to be tasting it like this. It is fresh. It's awesome. Thank you for doing what you do. And cheers. Foment about
cool,
it.
Cool. Thank you. Nice to have you, and keep drinking.
Absolutely. Okay, we're here with Laszlo from Iconic New York City. He just opened his tap room. How long has Iconic been open?
So February 2016, we opened, started selling all around the city. Our tap room has been open since May 5th. You know, the great thing about being here today is that, we're super close, so we get to tell everybody in the neighborhood about our new tap room, which is on 34th Avenue. It's 45-13 34th Avenue. Come out, have a beer, you know. We have two amazing beers on tap right now, our Saison Calypso from our rotational Saison series, dry hop with Calypso, previously dry hop with Bravo. And then we also have the Spaz, if you're feeling classy. If not so much, it's the Spaz. But that's made with, it's a Kolsch base, dry hop with Spalt and Saz. And,
right
excited
on.
To be here.
You may recognize that voice from an episode of Beer Sessions. I'm not sure which one, but that's another show on Heritage Radio we're really excited to have and be up in the cohorts. I'm still at the festival here, put on by Bruce Storia and Pilsner Urquell. And one of the great things about this is not just pro brewers, it's Joe brewers. So in a second, we'll get talking to some home brewers. But thank you, Laszlo, for what you do. Cheers.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. You know, it's nice to come full circle like this, because growing up in the neighborhood in Astoria, you know, me and Sam and Bruno, Sam being Czech, you know, we grew up here, and we used to run around, the tables over here when we were kids, and it's great to be back here after all these years, and, you know, we're happy to see the crowd, and it's been great. Thanks a lot.
Great to be back here after all these beers. Cheers. So here we are with Reyes Brew.
Yeah, hi.
What's your name?
Namit Reyes.
Namit Reyes.
Yes. And my sister, Manora.
Hi, Manora Reyes from Reyes Brewery. How are you?
Tell us a little about the company and about the beer we're about to drink.
Okay, so you're about to drink our first beer that is going to be released. It's a pineapple and jalapeno IPA, and it's all made with fresh fruit. So it has the balanced flavor, so it's not that sweet, not that bitter. So when you try it, you're going to enjoy it and love it.
What is the name of this beer?
The name is Al Pastor.
Fantastic.
Because it's like the taco. The taco have pineapple and jalapeno, yep. So Al Pastor. Yep.
So all of our beers are influenced by the cuisines of Latin America and the Caribbean.
Fantastic.
And so our first beer is based on our favorite taco, El Pastor.
El Pastor.
And so Al Pastor, the dish, is influenced by jalapeno and pineapple.
Sure.
So those are the two flavors that you'll know in our first release.
Where is the company, and where are you brewing this out of currently?
We will be brewing in the Bronx.
Okay.
I'm from the Bronx, and
fantastic.
We live in the Bronx, and so we want to keep it local.
Only three in the Bronx now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're looking to stay at a place where, you know, we grew up. We want to contribute to our community, and we plan on staying there in the Bronx.
Fantastic. Cheers. Welcome to New York.
Thank you. And as we said, salud.
Mucho gusto. All right, we're now here with Scott from Big Alice Brewing Company. That's actually Fifth Hammer's neighbor. We are like probably the closest to each other outside of Rockaway Brewing Company, part of Long Island City. But you're here participating in the today's event put on by Pilsner Urquell and Bruce Storia. What beers are you serving today?
So today we have our Honey Wit and our Lemongrass Kolsch. But great to be here at an event in Queens, especially so close to Long Island City, really home of craft beer at this point. Long Island City is where it's at.
Damn straight.
So we all get together and create the brewery tour of Long Island City. five breweries to go to and growing, that's where you got to be.
It's pretty special. So today's location is actually in Astoria, a little bit north of where we are in Long Island City. The two beers you're serving are regulars. You brew these beers on the regular, the Honey Wit and the Lemongrass Kolsch. Where does the lemongrass come into the Lemongrass Kolsch? I find both of these beers wonderfully refreshing and beautiful.
So these beers are definitely our summer beers, year-round, but great to have on tap during the summer. We're a flavor-forward brewery, so we're always doing kind of crazy, wild things with flavors. So these are kind of easy to drink through the summer. The lemongrass comes in where it's kind of nice and easy going, adds this great little aroma to it, something just a little different and great for pairing.
It's fantastic. Well, thanks for supporting the Queens Council for the Arts. Today's event benefits them and their program to get people from high school straight into art school, which I think is a beautiful thing and actually speaks very much to what Long Island City is about. We have like 13 different art galleries at least, and every third Thursday we have the LIC Arts Open. So if you're in town on a third Thursday, come on through and do the arts crawl. Cheers.
Thanks, Chris. Happy to be here.
Tony Ballas of Kings County Brewers Collective. How you doing, man? how are the concerts you went to last week? Didn't you go to a concert? How'd your kid like Metallica?
Loved it.
Is that how he says it? He said, Mary's pointing at me from across the way. She's finding this very entertaining, especially your uhs.
Is she listening to that?
No, she was just pointing at us from over there.
Oh.
What are you guys serving today at today's event?
Some Chaniac Maniac, a little strap hanger unfiltered rice lager, Bride of Beach Zombie, mango, passion fruit, sour. We also got a little double IPA, hybrid vigor.
I'm going to edit a lot of this out, probably. But not the quality content that you just gave me, but more of the stuff that started before that.
Exactly.
So let's talk about that Beach Zombie. That you've gone through a different series of fruits going through the Beach Zombie, and this one's really fun. Today is what flavor?
It is mango passion fruit. Yeah, mango passion
mango
fruit.
Passion
I had to think about it because we have the next ones coming up in our heads. So
wow, I mean it's delicious. It's been a really fun. It seems like it's that beer in particular has been a really fun playground.
Yeah,
for
that'll be like an ongoing series.
Yeah, so. It's awesome. Beach Zombie all the way.
Beach Zombie.
Thanks for venturing up to Queens from Brooklyn to support the Queens Council for the Arts.
Yeah, we'll represent Queens to the fullest.
Yeah, baby. I can't wait to get our inter-borough bowling league together.
That's right.
So we can kick your ass as we're undefeated right now.
I mean, Kings County comes hard when it comes to bowling.
I bet they come hard.
I do. Oh, hey-o.
Hey-o. Forget about it.
Hey.
All right, I'm here with President Scott Rubel, president of Brewstoria. And we're halfway through, or most of the way through this festival. So we're feeling quite loquacious right now, I believe.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Tell us about this festival and this celebration and also its cause.
So we're trying to raise money for the Queens Council of the Arts, and what they have is a scholarship program for high school students so that they can go to art school. So all the money, all the proceeds will be going to them. And we have free beer that home brewers work really hard to brew on their kitchen stoves in their backyards, and professional brewers that took some of the time and some of the beer that they used to sell and make money for to pour for this event. And we are very thankful for all the people that showed up for this.
There's a competition element to this event.
There's a little bit of a competition about. So the Bohemian Beer Garden is one of the oldest beer gardens in the country. They normally pour foreign exports. They are now willing to have a popular vote for everybody that's here. The best professionally brewed beer that people really like will be poured at the Bohemian Beer Garden. That would be a first ever at the Bohemian Beer Garden. That's amazing. I would come here to have any of the beer that these guys are pouring now and just have it be poured at the bar.
And the homebrew component, we have two voting tickets, everybody who came in. The homebrew component, is that bragging rights? Or is there
it's probably bragging rights. I'm not here for bragging. I'm here just because I love my fellow homebrewers, and I just like to be around them and share my beer along with drinking their beer as well.
Awesome. Thank you for the spirit of brunity in Brew Story. How old is Brew Story of the club, and what are your meetings like? What are our meetings like? I'm a paying member of Brunity, of Brew Story, but I've only been to two meetings, unfortunately.
So our meetings are at Rockaway Brewing Company at 7:30 upstairs, the first Wednesday of each month. We do education classes. We have professional brewers that come in who are new to town or people that we don't know, so that we could learn more about what their products are and what their brewing practices are. And sometimes we get some legal advice from some of the professional brewers.
Yeah.
Legal advice is very important.
That's right.
And we also share in our home brewers. I mean, everybody there can stand to learn a little bit more about home brewing. So every time I try a beer, every time I pour a beer, I want to know what they're tasting. I want to be a better home brewer. And I want everybody in my club to be an amazing brewer. And I really love what's happening here.
Scott, it's awesome. The club is awesome. And the fact that you threw this event is awesome. All things awesome. Scott Rubel for president.
Oh, thank you.
And you are president.
I am president. I love everything that happens at the Heritage Radio Network. I've been listening to you guys for a very long time.
Well, Scott, thank you very much.
All right.
And cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks.
Heritage Foods USA is a farm-to-table online butcher and founding sponsor of Heritage Radio Network.
Heritage Foods got its start when Patrick Martin's first stepped foot onto Frank Reese's Kansas farm in 2001. Back then, Frank was the only farmer in America raising true heritage turkeys, with recorded lineages tracing back more than 150 years.
Patrick knew instantly he'd found a unique moment, an opportunity to go beyond acknowledging these breeds as being jeopardized and to actually do something to save them. Patrick asked Frank to ramp up production and made a promise to him that if he would raise them, Heritage Foods USA would sell them.
That was the moment that Heritage Foods slogan, "Eat 'em to save 'em," was born. By creating a market for delicious meats from heritage breeds, we can ensure they'll be around for generations to come.
Plus, heritage breeds just taste a whole lot better. Learn more at heritagefoodsusa.com and use the code HERITAGERADIO for 2 free pork chops with your first order, brother.
All right, I'm here with the Scoo Brewing Company. What's up?
Sup, sup, sup!
So state your name for the record, please.
Andrew Salamone.
Josh Solidarity.
Tell us about Escu, the name of the company, and what's going on, your current state of affairs.
So we are Escu Brewing. I think the name sort of speaks for itself. We're a little bit Escu. And we are in the process of opening our brewery. So we're hoping to be up in Orange County in like 2 to 3 years with a nice venue and a plot of land where we can have festivals and share our beer with everybody.
Why Orange County?
Orange County is very open to breweries right now, and people coming in and creating kind of this brewery scene, this agrotourism scene in Orange County. They're just super friendly and open.
Yeah, we're hoping to be part of the farmland scene that's up there, you know, become part of the farm communities and just grow our brewery within that community.
So how long have you guys been homebrewing?
I don't know. I've probably been homebrewing for like 5 years, I guess.
5 years. Travis, yeah. 6 years.
Yeah, Travis has been doing it for 6 or 7. He's our head brewer.
You guys belong into any local homebrew clubs or anything?
Only Brewstoria, best homebrew club.
Anyway, to that regard, let's talk about the beers that you brought today. You brought two different beers, and they are...
Yes, we have a single hop New England style IPA with Citra. Pretty, you know, simple IPA, New England IPA, very drinkable, very enjoyable, about 7%. And then we have a milkshake IPA, which is a double IPA with lactose, guava, and vanilla beans, which seems to be pretty popular. People are really liking it, so people are pouring it themselves.
That's right. Well, it's delicious.
It's really flying off the shelves.
So it's crazy. The vanilla bean and the lactose, like, really thickening up the mouthfeel, counteracting with some sweetness the audacity of the hops. It's really juicy. It's really beautiful. It really is. That vanilla note with that lactose, like, really brings it into this creamy, crazy milkshake. Like, it is, this milkshake IPA is aptly named, absolutely, yeah. Without a doubt.
Thanks, Chris.
You're the man. How can people find out and follow the story of Askew?
Yeah, so follow us on Instagram. What is it? Askew Brew on Instagram and Askew Brewing on Facebook. Follow us there and shoot us a message on there, and we'll connect with you and try to give you guys free beer and stuff like that. So.
Right on. We like all of those things. Foment about it.
Foment about it.
All right, I'm here with Clinton Biggott, one of the homebrewers who has sacrificed time, labor, and dollars to share some amazing beverages with us today. Clinton, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It's something that a lot of brewers would only dream about, participating in events like this, and being, standing next to a lot of great brewers, especially here in New York City. It's something that, 2.5 years ago when I first started brewing, I would never imagine that I would even think about even being in this area, I thought I missed the boat. I honestly believe that. I honestly thought I missed the boat. And I just put a lot of time, effort, and dedication into learning.
Absolutely.
And
you're professionally doing it. I mean, I see you've reached out to me a couple of times about different things and about advice on where to go. Do you have aspirations in this industry?
I would love to, man. That's something, I used to cook a lot. I traveled a lot. I've been to a lot of different places. And a lot of times when I travel, I'd come back home and try to share that experience I had abroad with my friends and family and stuff.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed giving people an experience and seeing the reaction and, just messing with their palate,
Yeah.
And that's one thing. Since I started brewing, I've really focused on doing that. I'll tell you, I don't really cook anymore ever since I started brewing. I put all my scientific creativity and all my thoughts and all my passion into making beer.
Right.
And as strange as it sounds, I don't even drink much beer anymore.
No,
I probably had like 4 beers here today total.
You've been a slave to your booth. To be fair.
Well, because I like to get the feedback. I like to, as I was saying with my cooking and stuff, I like to see how people react and. I just really enjoy giving somebody an experience. And the beers that I have here today, 2 of them, the first time I ever made them. So, instead of going to the bottle swap down at Bitters and Esters on Wednesday, I figured,
what Wednesday? The first Wednesday of every month at BittersandEsters.com, you mean?
Yes, that Wednesday. So I figured, I'll take a chance and I'll bring these 2 other beers with me today.
How did you get contacted about today? Are you a member of Vistoria?
No, I'm a member of the Brewminaries, actually. Back during Homebrew Rally, I cleaned house with my cider and everything.
You did?
And ever since then, I've been in contact with some people I met there, and they invited me to come brew with these guys. And, it's an honor to even be considered to be here. I mean, even if I didn't make amazing beer, it's still... an honor,
Well, it's great to have you representing in the city because where do you live? Tell us about that.
I live in Laceyville, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. How far away is this drive?
That's an hour west of Scranton. So that's about a 3-hour and 10-minute drive from here, this location.
And it was worth it for this.
Excuse me?
I mean, I agree that it was worth it to come out here for this, but I just can't thank you enough for taking that trek, making that trek.
Yeah,
and you regularly make the Brewminaries meetings, and you regularly come out. I mean, I see you a lot. I mean, everywhere there's good homebrew, Clinton Biggott is there.
Well, it's something I learned from wrestling when I used to wrestle in high school. To be the best, you got to study the best, and you got to be around the best. And, I lived here for like 8 months, about 2.5 years ago, and then I moved back to my farm and spent some time with my family and helped renovate our farm and get things back on track, my family and everything. And I just keep coming back because I want the truth. I want the real evaluation on my products,
Yeah.
And I just figured, if I can hit the ball with the big guys and people respect what I'm making, I think I'm doing things right.
What you make is very flavorful. Speaking of those flavors, what do you have with us today?
Yeah, so today I have, I brought out my beer that made me nationally famous. It's called the Tasmanian Devil. It's a passion fruit blonde ale. It's something that it's really unique because through my experiences of going abroad, I made this beer because I really missed being in Brazil. And a lot of times you'd have a passion fruit mousse after dinner and stuff. And I figured, maybe I could find a way to give that back to people. Because maybe there's a lot of other, Brazilians or whatever that would really appreciate this thing. And somehow I nailed it right on the head and it's been tasting pretty good. So I brought that guy out for show and tell because I haven't really brought it out at all for a while. And then I also had this raspberry coconut porter that I sort of made a mistake on a couple of weeks ago when I was making a beer for the Glen Hill event. I had some, I had two fermenters worth of, well, actually I had three fermenters worth of black raspberries that I picked at my farm. And I was going to put in two fermenters, and I had an extra one just to, like, defrost, because I had them in, like, Gatorade bottles already pre-measured out.
Right.
And for some reason, I don't know, I was in a rush, and I grabbed the third bottle, and I put the funnel on the cardboard, and I threw it in, and I looked, and there was a whole bunch of coconut in there, and I was like, oh, jeez, man. Because, I mean, the funnel was so big on the top, I don't know what I was doing. I was just in a rush. So, so I let it ferment, you know, and, like I said, the meme speaks for itself, you know. So
So the meme says it's got a kid with a righteous fist up that says, "Put raspberry into the wrong fermenter, kegged it."
Yeah.
Righteous. You got another one that says, you know, the little kid doubting somebody, and it's like, "So you're telling me you put the raspberries into the coconut, fermented that bitch, and then kegged it?" That's the other meme, and the final meme is it's the Tasmanian Devil, Patrick Verblond, righteously with the Tasmanian.
That is correct. And then also, I also brought a beer. I mean, that was the first time I made that one, and I took a chance.
It
why
works,
not?
Works, man, it works.
Yeah, I figured, you know, if these people are here, they want to experience beer, and I figured this should be a good experience. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a little brave for doing that. It could have been a strikeout. Maybe it was under car. I don't know. I'm just saying,
man,
but it worked out
rolling.
Good. And then I made this other beer that was sort of this... you know, I just started dabbling with the lagers, and I've been making a couple of Kolsches and stuff, and then I got some new grains that I got there from some type of a Vienna from some place in Pennsylvania, and so I used that, and I was making this thing that was sort of like I was thinking about alt beer, but my gravity came out a little bit too high, so man, maybe it might be more of a, what they say, what's it, a Hell's Lager or something like that,
right,
they were
right.
sort of saying, right?
Sure.
So, whatever, man, as long as people like it, that's what it's all about,
that's
you
right.
know?
It's good, it's clean, all your beers are clean and beautiful, and for brewing the large number of 2.5 years, I mean that sarcastically, absolutely, congratulations on all of the beautiful beers you're making. I mean,
oh, thank you.
You are crushing it, and I would pay for these beers. So,
yeah.
I love you, man.
Oh.
Cheers. Thanks
love
for
you
doing
too,
what you
bro.
Do.
Well, thank you. And I love what you do,
Ooh,
too, bro.
I just
it means
got
a lot
Christmas
to me.
Goose early from Tony Bellis of Big County Brewing.
But, yeah, like I said, though, I just, I've been really focusing on the process.
Yeah.
And that's something I've always been told. Process.
Absolutely.
And I made the mistakes when I first started brewing, just like a person wants to play guitar. I started trying to write my own solos, and I was making mistakes left and right. And that's one thing that, luckily, I was here in New York City, and the homebrew community here, or the brewing community in general, helped me get through it and figure things out. And instead of, you know, getting confused and intimidated and quitting, I stepped into all-grain brewing, and I just kept swinging the bat, and I do this thing, it's called Mash Wednesdays, and every Wednesday, I brew. No matter if I have all the ingredients or not, I brew, and it's like, so that's my Twitter handle, at Mash Wednesdays.
At Mash Wednesdays?
Yeah,
all
and
right.
I just try to brew, and that's what made me a better brewer, just going through it and go, and sometimes one beer will have an element that I really like, and another will be missing something, and then I start putting them together, you know?
Yeah.
But
and
I mean,
that's what it is, and that's what the spirit of this is, and that's as long as you're doing it cleanly and not putting stuff out there that you don't stand behind, it's beautiful. Yeah.
And I make a lot of beer. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the only way you're going to learn is just go. You know?
A lot of beer, but totally under the legal limit of personal homebrewing laws and off the record. Bye. All right, we're here with Brew Storia member
Eli Green,
with a Jasmine Saison called
Jasmine Blaith.
Jasmine Blaith, what's the name come from?
The name comes from some of the older listeners might know the show Baywatch in the 90s. Jasmine Blaith was the brunette bombshell playing alongside. God, why can't I think of the name now?
Hasselhoff?
Tommy Lee's wife.
Oh, yeah, Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson.
Wow,
and Jasmine Blaith.
That too.
Rocking the 90s.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about this beer and the inspiration behind it. This is the fourth iteration. It's gone through a couple different.
Yeah.
Forms,
we've, we've done all extract versions. We've done all grain versions. We settled on a partial because just the equipment we have, the space we have, sure. It's just the best.
What is the space that you have?
I grew out of my studio apartment in Astoria.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, studio apartment being what? 40
I got
feet?
Lots of closets all dedicated to storage for homebrewing.
Yes.
When this brew really started to take form was when I got my chest freezer.
Yeah.
When I started to be able to control the temperature, even if it's a low temperature or high temperature saison, it's really just nice to be able to have that control.
Yeah.
When I brewed this batch was the day the June heat wave rolled in on like June 11th.
Yes.
I pitched the day before and decided I'm not doing any temperature control.
Let it ride.
It got up to 91 degrees in the fermenter.
And with what yeast?
Belle Saison, which is the similar to the 3711, I feel, is like the common Saison yeast. It finished in 3 days. It's a monster.
I've never seen
such an active bubbler.
Yeah.
This time we only dry hopped with jasmine. I think jasmine is like a tea. You know, so to over boil it or use it in the boil at all is gonna ruin it.
Right.
So we stopped doing that after the first iteration. Now it's all just dry hopped.
Interesting. So you're taking a completed beer, a beer at terminal gravity, and putting jasmine tea leaves.
Yeah, a little before terminal gravity, because you want a little bit of that active fermentation just to keep it mixing up.
Yeah.
You know, once it's done fermenting, it tends to slow down a little bit, you know that.
Are you putting them in a bag and then removing them so as to keep it?
I do. I put everything in a hop bag just for ease. I don't like leaving behind too much trub.
Right.
And if you leave them out by themselves, you know, it's a little harder to get those last few drops of beer out before you have to stop.
Yeah.
You know, so I like using hop bags for dry hopping.
Yeah.
Especially since I have no fancy filtration systems, you know, to get all that stuff out, I really rely on my technique and not pulling it any out of the...
And there's only so much room that a New York studio apartment can handle.
You know, it's a kettle and a fermentation bucket, it's really simple setup.
So you keep saying we. Who's the other part of we?
We is my girlfriend, Liz. She's my second in command. She helps me a lot. And a friend of mine that I've known since high school, he's got, you know, more of a growing interest in brewing. He comes over a lot because he really wants to learn.
Right.
So I got to give him credit, my buddy Paul, my girlfriend Liz.
Right on.
So, you know, it's a team effort.
That's right.
But I'm the one who got into brewing, and now, you know, some of the closer friends around me are starting to be curious about it.
Do you have anything in the fermenter right now?
I bought an extract kit from Northwest Brewer. My girlfriend, I mentioned her, Liz, she wants to really understand the process more. So we bought a lot of extract kits. It's going to be a really good starting place for her to just get the process, understand it a little bit more before we get into the complicated mash process and everything.
Yeah.
So we bought a lot of kits off of Northern Brewer just to get some really quick turnaround.
Right on.
We got the fresh squished IPA from them. Not to be confused with fresh squeezed from Deschutes, which is one of the best beers I've ever had. Not to do a little buzz marketing, but...
I mean, you don't work for Deschutes, so full disclosure there.
Yeah.
Why do you like that as a beer? Why does that make one of your... I find trends very interesting and what people like very interesting.
Deschutes, I fell in love with Deschutes 2 years ago. I made my first trip to Portland and basically just wandered around looking for breweries. Deschutes had one of the best beers I've ever had. It's the Chainbreaker IPA, and it's a blend between a wheat beer and an IPA. It's... Without having to belabor the description, it's the best of both worlds. The best of the wheat and the best of the IPA.
Yeah.
They nailed it. And so every time I see Deschutes, I try what they have. And the fresh squish is one of their mainstays. You can find that outside of Portland.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, so I really like that one.
Well, cool. Cheers, Elon. Thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you.
About it.
You've never
BC PC before?
Not ever.
Are you excited?
Fucking stoked.
Why are you going?
I'm going to support Kelly Taylor.
What? Who's Kelly Taylor?
Kelly Taylor is kind of the godfather of brewing in New York City. Not just kind of, he really is.
Well, that's true. Like he helped to start a lot of this scene and has trained a lot of the brewers that are now brewing professionally individually as their own thing. And we are going to have a Men About It episode with Kaylee Taylor himself sometime in the fall, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd like to call that episode Kelly Snark.
Kelly Snark.
Yeah, Kelly Snark, episode 1 of 10. It'll be beautiful.
It'll be beautiful.
Can we get it on video as well?
Yeah, of course. You can even come to it if you want. All right, now we're talking about the Hefeweizen from Brew Story, a member.
Adam Shapiro.
Adam Shapiro! So your Hefeweizen is wonderfully quaffable, really delicious. It has some fruit flavors. What yeast did you use on this Hefeweizen?
I almost always use Weiss 3068.
3068.
Only because I feel like most American Hefeweizen you get are very much on the clovey kind of flavor. When you get the 3068 or any German style of yeast, you get more of the banana flavor that I enjoy. It's a little bit different than what you normally get.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I think it's pretty balanced. In general, the best thing about that beer, I think, is that it's so simple. It's literally, you know, it's 60% wheat, 40% Pilsner. It's got a little bit of Saz hops, and the only different thing I do with that is I do a decoction on it, and I feel it helps a lot with it. I feel I get almost a caramelly kind of flavor out of it when you do that.
How long does it take your how much does that add on to your brew day?
It's like an hour and a half maybe.
Hour and a half.
But it's not a lot of work because it's essentially all you're doing is
tell us how you're doing it.
For people that are not aware, a decoction mash, essentially what you're doing with that is you're taking the grain and the wort and you're boiling it. And it, essentially what it does is it caramelizes it. And that was the way back in the day they used to do it, so that if they want to do a step mash, they didn't need to go and have another set of water there. All they had to do was essentially take the grain, bring the temperature up, add it back to it, and you got that flavor out of it. And for the most part, they tell you don't need to do that. But I find for certain beers, mostly German beers, if you add that to your brew day, it gives you a little bit of caramelization to the malt, to the wort. You get a little bit more of a sweet flavor out of the deal. But I've been brewing it for a couple of years. I think it's been pretty good.
You've been doing decoction mashes for a couple of years. How long have you been brewing in total?
Since 2010, I guess. So
yes.
7 years.
7 years.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, keep it up. It's delicious.
I enjoy it.
Do you have aspirations of going into the industry, or you want to? There's no need, of course.
Right now, I enjoy brewing just for fun.
Yes.
I mean, that's my plan for the moment. So we'll see where it goes. Depends on my career. But for right now, I'm happy just making for these events like this and brewing for the club. It's very fun.
What do you do as a career? What's your day job?
My day job, I work actually at the power plants up further north in Astoria, actually.
Okay, right on.
So I'm an electrical engineer
there. Right there by Single Cut?
Very close to there.
On 20th Street or whatever?
Yes, right near there.
Fantastic. I love it. I think New York is just, New York homebrewers are filled with a diversity of people from all walks of life, and I find it fascinating what brings us all together, and the commonality is this love and this passion for this hobby, and I love this event for bringing us all together, people who are into it, man. So, cheers. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Fun about it.
Have a good one.
Fun about it. I'm here with Mary Izette, who has been sampling beers all afternoon while I've been doing a couple of different interviews. What do you like, Mary? How you doing?
Great.
What do you like about this event?
Well, let me tell you what I like. I like it because it is diverse in both beer and people. And I think that's pretty fucking awesome. It's a much more diverse audience than your typical beer festival, and everybody's having a great time. We're all drinking really passionate, well-made beers, and that's super exciting.
For the record, I'm going to play all of these in sequence and in order, and I did not put her up to that. You haven't heard what I just said, but yes. Cheers. Forget about it. All right, we're still here at the festival. festival and enjoying ourselves very much. We have with us
Hannah Washburn
of the Queen's Council for the Arts. So this whole event benefits your program for getting kids into high schools or out of high school and into colleges focused on the arts. Tell us a little about that and why you're passionate about it.
Sure. So High School to Art School is a free portfolio development program for New York City kids that are interested in the arts. And we provide them with art supplies and we give them art skills training. We do a lot of drawing from the model, drawing from still life, providing kind of basic foundation art skills. And then when they're seniors, we focus on preparing their portfolios for colleges. We help them write their essays. We help them prepare their financial aid materials and everything that they need to do in order to get into great colleges. We have representatives from colleges come and do portfolio reviews with them to give them feedback on their work and tell them what kinds of things they can work on in order to get into great schools. And this year, we have usually about 20 kids graduate with us every year. And this year, they all got into great schools. They all got at least partial scholarships. And they're going to schools like Cooper Union and RISD and Maryland Institute College of Art, Chicago School of Art, like really wonderful places. It's an amazing program.
It's fantastic. How long has the program been in effect?
Oh my goodness. I believe it started in the mid-90s. I've been working here for about 2.5 years, but one of our teachers has been with the program since 1999. So she's been around for a while, and her name's Young Ji Yu. She loves the program, and a lot of our teachers have been with us for a very long time. But typically, we have about 60 students enrolled in the program every year, and then 20 seniors every year that graduate.
Do you come from an arts background as well?
I do. I'm a practicing artist. I'm actually currently getting my master's in fine art at the School of Visual Arts in New York. And it's great because my job is really flexible, so it allows me to work remotely a lot of the time, and I'm able to get my degree while working, which has been awesome. Yeah.
As an artist, why do you feel that arts are important for community, culture, life, everything?
Oh, my God.
This is a hard one. It's a big one. But it's an important one, I think, in today's climate and political climate, as funding is all over the place.
I think that art is, like, how we understand other people. I think it's, like, for me, it's the most fundamental way of expressing yourself, and it really is the best way to help me understand other people's perspectives, cultures, different time periods that I didn't live through. It's just, like, I think the best communicator of everything, and especially at a time where I think that a lot of people, you know, their voices aren't being heard or they're feeling like they're not being represented. Art is, like, a really powerful way to make yourself heard, and I don't think there's anything like that.
Absolutely.
I want to know how you guys got involved in this event.
Our development coordinator, Masood, he let me know about the event. He was in contact with Menora, who works with the Brewstoria homebrewing group. And from what I know, I think that they just are passionate about the arts, and they like to donate the proceeds to whatever event they're doing, and they knew about our organization, and we're local.
To us, as home brewers and pro brewers, and kind of what brought Mary and I together, our passion for art and the parallel of brewing and the art that we see in brewing, that is kind of like what I just can't speak enough about how beautiful that is and how it seems like a perfect fit and a perfect match.
I live in Astoria and I love this neighborhood, so anything having to do with, like, local groups and local artists is just, like, you know, a wonderful way to bring everyone together. I love this neighborhood. I'm really passionate about it.
Cheers, Hannah. Thank you. On behalf of all the homebrewers and the pro brewers involved in this event, thank you.
Good.
All right, we're here with John Fruszewski of the New York City Home Brewers Guild, Secretary of the New York City Home Brewers Guild, crashing the Brewstoria. Amazing event today.
Not really crashing. We're one big homebrew community here.
Welcome into the homebrew event today with Pilsner Urquell and Bruce. Astoria to benefit the Queens Council of the Arts program to get high school students into good art schools. John, you brewed an amazing smoked wheat saison. Tell us about this beer.
Not just me, of course. Me and Katie Sloan, we brewed this together, as always. And it was a little bit of a mistake. The beer is called Oops. And the reason for that is because we went to the homebrew store and they were kind of out of the normal malt that we wanted to use, which is a peat smoke malt in a peat smoke wheat beer that we normally make.
How much peat smoke did you want to use?
Well, I think it was usually around 4 ounces. It's not a lot, but we try to get a little peat smoke character into our wheat beer. But they only had like an ounce or an ounce and a half.
So. Lucky, there's an argument that, you know, any peat smoke is too much peat smoke malt.
That's what some people say, but we've brewed a 100% peat smoked beer before, and it's fantastic.
Really?
We have. But this time we supplemented with a little bit of cherry wood smoked malt, and as a result of that, the beer turned out a little different than we wanted to, and also kind of over-measured on the base malt, so got a few extra pounds of base malt. So it turned into Oops, and we decided, well, what are we going to do with it? We're going to use a little different yeast, threw a saison yeast in there, made a different beer. So made a smoked wheat saison. I think it turned out pretty well.
More than pretty well. It's wonderfully balanced. It is crushable. It is what's the ABV on this?
7.5.
And that's crazy. You don't taste that 7.5. It's a lot of flavor, but not at all feeling hot or high in alcohol.
Yeah, we think it's hidden pretty well. So it's been all right so far for us. But we're glad to be here. I mean, it's been a great event so far. Amazing turnout. And we're excited.
Speaking of excited, I'm going to put this out here because I'm excited that you're secretary of the New York City Homebrewers Guild, clearly marrying my alma mater, and we would not exist if we did not meet at the New York City Homebrewers Guild back in 2006.
This is very true. This is very true. We are super excited about your upcoming brewery, Fifth Hammer.
Thank you very much.
Obviously, we have a lot of people here that are former members of the guilds or still members that have gone pro. We got KCBC, obviously. We got Keg and Lantern. A lot of people who were, members, and we still support them, and obviously we're going to support Fifth Hammer as much as we can. We're looking forward to a lot of events there at Fifth Hammer, and come in and drinking some great beers.
Right on, especially and maybe our 30th anniversary as the New York City Homebrewers Guild. That's coming next, up in 2018. That's next.
Next year, yep. We'll certainly be putting together some events for that, and hopefully a big party, and maybe that'll be held at Fifth Hammer if we can work that out.
Beautiful. We'll work it out. John, thank you so much. Ferment about it.
Thank you. Ferment about it.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola El Waley, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.